I think you know the words to the chorus by now. So as you finish the verse, we invite you to, those in the back, move up forward as you sing the chorus, put your hymn books back, or even take them with you if you like. You can take them back with you, but we'd like you to move up a little bit. It's just like kind of on a bus, you know, they tell you to move to the back. Well, this isn't the bus. Metro service doesn't start till next year for the paying customers, you know. So this one, these are free up front, so if you'd like to come up and get a little closer to our Brother Saunders in the ministry this evening, please do so on the chorus of the last verse. Jesus, I do now receive him.
Jesus, now I do now receive him more than all. In him I find. He has granted me forgiveness of him, his, and he is mine.
Thank you. Maybe seated. It's our privilege now to introduce our brother Jack Devine. He's been singer at Buffalo Christian Center and several other areas. We'd just like to welcome him again to our platform. Brother Jack.
How could
Message in that hymn, wasn't it? Shall we not return the favor, live each day for Christ our Savior? Isn't that a privilege we have of living each day for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us? This time, it's another privilege I have tonight to turn the platform over to our brother Saunders to speak to us again this evening. Brother Saunders.
Should we turn to God's Word for our reading at this time? Turning to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. We'll commence to read from the 28th verse. John, chapter 8, commencing at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abram's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abram's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abram is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye were Abram's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his precious word. Let us now bow in prayer as we prepare our hearts for God's message to our hearts this evening. Our Heavenly Father, as we come now quietly, reverently, expectantly into your presence, we ask that the Holy Spirit will so take of the Scriptures that this evening our hearts and minds will be brought to understand, to comprehend, to receive the things which are of heaven, the things which are concerning our salvation. May the Lord Jesus have all the praise and the glory here this evening. May everyone who knows not Christ as their personal Saviour place their faith and trust in him tonight. May those who are saved rejoice this evening in the greatness of the saving grace of God. May this time together be profitable to us all, and may it be honouring to our Lord Jesus. We ask it in his worthy and his precious name. Amen. We're turning tonight to God's word, looking primarily at a verse found in John 8, but linking it with other verses in the scripture. First of all, in John 8 and verse 32, we have these words, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This statement from the Lord Jesus brought a retort from those who heard it, and they said, What do you mean we shall be made free? We have never been a servant of anyone. We are the seed of the covenant, We are the seed of Abraham. We're the children of the promise. We have never been in bondage. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, then shall you be free indeed. Jesus told them clearly that although they were the children of Abraham, the children of the promise, yet they certainly still were in bondage. They were only fooling themselves when they said they were not in bondage. It was because they did not understand the condition of their own heart and life that they dared to say, we are not slaves. Jesus said, I know your heart, I know your life, I know your mind, and I know that you are the slaves of sin. When Paul was writing to the Christians that lived in Rome, he spoke about the problem of sin and the slavery that we're in. In chapter 6 of Romans, he said this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. To whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. And you are now made free from sin. Ye have become the servants of righteousness. Paul takes up the same theme of the Lord Jesus, which clearly states that all who know not the saving, delivering power of Jesus Christ personally in their lives are servants of sin. It's wonderful how Paul brings out this emphasis, ye were the servants of sin. He's writing now to Christians. And no Christian, of that person can it be said that they are a servant of sin. For Jesus Christ sets us free from sin. That doesn't mean that we never sin, but it means that we can no longer be held captive by Satan or be held in bondage by sin. If we do fall into temptation and we do sin, it is because we of our own free choice have chosen to do so, but not because that power of sin controls our lives. We are set free from the power of sin through a risen and living Christ. So let's look tonight at the subject of freedom, the freedom which is offered us through our Lord Jesus. These people then listening to the Lord Jesus said, we are not in bondage to any. We are free. And Jesus said, no, you're not. For he said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. I want to speak tonight of some of the things that we are slaves to, some of the things we find ourselves captive to. Firstly, we are captives to an old nature. Now the Bible, when it speaks about the natural man, the man as he is by natural birth into this world, uses a number of phrases. The Bible uses the phrase, the old man. It's a common phrase now on the lips of young people when they're speaking disrespectfully of their dad. They often call him the old man. I know you don't have to be very old to look a very old man to children. But nevertheless, it's disrespectful, but it's a common phrase these days when youngsters talk of their dad. They'll say the old man. But when the Bible speaks of the old man, it's not speaking of someone's father, it's speaking of a person's own nature. The old man is what I am before I'm a new man. And I can only be a new man when Jesus Christ comes to live within my life. And if Jesus Christ is not Lord and Savior of your life or mine, then I am not a new man. I am not a new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. No one can claim to be a new person spiritually if they have not experienced the saving, delivering power of Jesus in their life. If you have not been saved, converted, born again, it matters not which phrase or terminology you use, but if you have not had a personal experience of God's delivering power and God's saving grace, you are yet in your sin. You are yet, as the Bible says, a captive, a slave, a servant to the old nature. Now what is this old nature? It is what I am and what I have inherited from my parents. And we would trace this old nature all the way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, the poison of sin entered the bloodstream of the human race. And every human being other than Jesus Christ, who has been born on this planet, has been born with a nature opposed to God's will. Most people fight against that when they first hear it. And they say, well, I'm not opposed to God's will, but the Bible says we are. If you have not yet been born again or saved by God's grace, then I ask you to answer this question. Is Jesus Christ Lord and King of your life? Is he Lord and King of your life? Do you own Jesus Christ as Lord of all that you have and are and possess? Have you bowed your knee, your will, your life to him? Yielding it, bowing in his presence, have claimed him to be king. If you haven't, you're in rebellion against the will of God. It is the expressed will and the command of Almighty God that Jesus be owned by you as Lord. And if you have not yet made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you are living in open rebellion against Almighty God. Well, don't tell me this evening that you don't need to be saved, or that you don't have an old nature, or that you don't need to trust the Lord Jesus. You do. You are acting out of an old nature and rebelling against the will of God. Jesus told us a parable of the people who said of the king, we will not have this man to reign over us. And many of us will admire the Lord Jesus. We'll stand back and admire his life and admire his teachings and admire his power, his miracles, his love. But we don't want to bend the knee and make him Lord. We'll stand with others and applaud him. We'll sing with the crowd and sing the praises of his name. But when it comes to being challenged to go down on our knees to make him Lord and sovereign of our lives, we rebel. The old nature does that. Every human being on this planet rebels against the sovereign will of God, and that's the result of their natural birth. It is only when the Spirit of God works in our heart, revealing to us our sin and enlightening our mind and our soul, that we claim him to be Lord and Savior of our lives. We're captives to an old nature. The Bible not only calls it an old man, it calls it the flesh. Most people, when they read the Bible and read about the flesh, think that it's speaking about our bodies. Well, of course, this covering of our skeleton is called flesh, but that's not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about the flesh. It's talking about that at all. It's talking about that old sinful nature that is deep within my personality. That is the old man. That is the flesh. That is the carnal man, as Paul so often speaks, the carnal man. That is what I am by nature. And we are captives to that old nature. None of us can break away from it through self-effort, though we try. It's no good pretending that it isn't sinful and it isn't evil, because the Word of God declares it is. The Bible says that from within, out of the heart, out of that old nature, out of that corrupt me, proceed evil thoughts and adultery and fornication and every kind of wickedness. Jesus said it comes from within, out of the heart. There are many people around who would like to prove by their arguments that their heart isn't deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. They would like to try and prove to us that even though they know nothing of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus, they're not as the Bible says they are. And they would try to argue against the words of the Lord Jesus that the heart is the root of all the trouble in the world today. But you know, if you have a bottle in the cupboard at home, in the closet, wherever bottles are, they might be in the refrigerator, but whatever it contains, they'll be in different places. If you have a bottle there, and you knock it over, the only thing you discover when it's upset is what was in it. Upsetting the bottle doesn't change the contents of the bottle, it reveals what was in the bottle. If you've got a bottle of milk, or a carton of milk, and you tip it over, all you do is reveal what was in it. The tipping of it over, the upsetting of it, didn't make it anything. Simply revealed what was in it. If you want to know what's in your heart by nature, what you are in the sight of God without the new birth, all you have to do is to just take a look at yourself every day when somebody upsets you. What spills out of your life when someone upsets you? That reveals what you are by nature. You can cover up for days and for weeks. You can pretend. You can play a game. You can look moral. You can look sweet. You can look lovely, kind, wholesome. But let somebody in an unexpected moment upset your life, and then there flows out what there is within the heart. Many of us here tonight are captives to an old nature, to temper, to pride, to selfishness, to lust, to impurities of every kind. Men and women around us don't know exactly what's going on the inside. But those of us here tonight who are unsaved know that inside the bottle of our life there is sin. And it needs to be cleansed away. It needs to be pardoned. We need forgiveness. We need a changed life. You and I only understand a small part of the sinfulness of our own life. God sees much more than I've ever seen of the depths of my own sin and filth. I only measure myself by other people around me. But God measures me by His Son. And I have an old nature of sin which once captivated me and held me sway under its power. And I could do nothing about it, but there came one, the Lord Jesus, who set me free. What a wonderful day that was. What a tremendous experience to be set free from the slavery of sin. To be set free from that old nature which had dominated for years, which had mocked me. How many times in my life had I decided I wouldn't sin again? How many times when I saw my mother's heart broken and the tears running down her cheeks, had I confessed to her, "I won't be like it again, Mother. It's the last time you'll ever have to speak to me about this." A couple of days went by and I came in the same condition and I saw the same tears and I heard her on her knees in prayer to God, praying for God to save me. My intentions were good, but I was a slave. And there are some of you here tonight who know that this very evening you're still a slave. A slave to impure thoughts. A slave to an unruly tongue. A slave to an uncontrolled temper. A slave to habits that are impure. Dozens of times you have decided to reform. Dozens of times you've turned over a new leaf. Dozens of times you've told your partner, your children, your mother, your friends, it'll be different next week. But it isn't different. You are still a slave. A gentleman came into one of my meetings. I watched him as he left that night. He hadn't come forward to receive Christ, but I knew his heart was troubled. Instead of going home, he walked round and round our big tent, fidgeting, uneasy. I went over to him and said, "Are you in trouble, sir? Are you looking for someone to talk to?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Can I talk with you?" I said, "Yes." We went into the tent, the inquiry tent, which was now empty. And he said, "If you could guarantee that I can go home tonight delivered from alcohol," he said, "I'll give you £1,000. By this time he had his checkbook in his hands and a pen in his hand. He said, "I'll write a check now for £1,000 if you could be guarantee me I could go home free from alcohol." He said, "It's destroying my marriage, it's destroying my health, it's destroying my life, it's going to rob me very soon of my job." I said, "I can guarantee you can go home delivered from alcohol, but," I said, "you can't buy your way into God's blessing. It's an insult to God." So I said, "Before we talk, you put away your checkbook and your pen and we'll turn from a checkbook to a Bible. And we'll see what God has to say. But you can't buy your way to liberty, to freedom, to victory. The price has already been paid. And what you must do is acknowledge that the price has been paid and receive the one who paid that price on your behalf." That evening I took him to the scriptures and showed him the appalling sinfulness of his own heart, which I knew he already understood. I showed him the holiness and the righteousness of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And I showed him how one who was holy and righteous and who knew no sin was made sin so that he, the sinner, could be made righteous. And I told him the terms upon which he could be saved, that he must start with repentance, that he must be prepared with the help of Almighty God to turn his back once and for all on the road he was travelling and start travelling a new road with God. My friend, don't you dare to think that you can become a Christian and travel the same old sinful road. It's quite contrary to everything in this book. There are lots of Christians want to have one foot in the world and one foot in God's family. There's no way, you're fooling yourself. To walk with God starts with repentance, turning from sin an acknowledging of sin, a willingness to submit to the will of God and to walk God's way by God's grace. Told him how the blood of the Lord Jesus was shed for him at Calvary. That all the anger of a holy God had been poured out upon Jesus, that it might never fall upon him, the sinner. And how if he made Jesus Christ Lord of his life, repenting of his sin and believing that Christ died for him, he could go home delivered. That night he knelt on the damp grass in the tent. And he asked Jesus Christ to be his Saviour and his Lord. He left me a happy man. He came back a week later. He was just going off on another trip. He was a merchant seaman. He said, "My biggest trouble is I'm surrounded by drinking men all day." He said, "I'm lonely when I'm away from home and from my wife." I said, "You have Christ with you now. You ask for victory, you have victory. You can be set free to a risen and living Lord." He came back a week later and he said, "I'm delivered. I haven't touched alcohol since that night I knelt in the tent. I've lived amongst the men. They've been drinking all round me. I haven't even wanted it." He said, "My life is transformed." That was some 8 years ago. He's a new man. Christ Jesus changes us. He's no longer a slave to alcohol. What are you a slave to tonight? Unclean thoughts, a gossiping tongue, temper, jealousy, pride, self-righteousness. What are you a captive to tonight, a slave? If we go on in our sin, we shall die in our sin and we shall be banished from heaven forever. Jesus said, "If you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am." The Lord Jesus tonight loves you. He longs to set you free from the slavery to that old wretched nature of sin. He longs to cleanse. He longs to pardon. He longs to give you a new life. He longs to come and live within you and be Lord and Saviour and Master. Will you respond to him tonight and say, "Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I have been a slave to this old sin for years. Lord, it threatens the happiness of my home. It threatens my health. It threatens my eternal destiny. Lord, I want to be a new man. I want to be a new girl. I want to be a new boy. I want to be set free from sin's power and from this old nature which continually drags me down and down and will eventually take me down into hell and to despair." The Bible says we're also captives of Satan. It's not only an old nature of sin that is our problem, but we have an outward enemy as well as an inward one. The inward one is our own self-nature. The outward one is a devil who hates to see any man or woman or boy and girl saved by God's grace. You know, the Bible says that the devil takes us captive at his will. In the margin it says that the devil takes us captive alive. Whilst we're living and think we can do something about it, he just comes and he takes us captive at his will. There isn't a human being on this planet has the power to fight against Satan. Not one. I hear people talk very foolishly about the devil. Some folks, even Christian folks, talk carelessly about him. They talk about how they will handle the devil when the devil comes to tempt them. The Word of God says there isn't a human being on this planet can handle the devil. The only voice that the devil obeys is the voice of a conquering, living Lord. It is Christ who broke the power of Satan. It is Christ alone whose voice he dreads. And only when Christ lives in our life does Satan withdraw from our heart. You read the verses, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And people even quote that out of context. If you read the chapter through, you'll find the only way you can resist the devil so that he'll flee from you is if Christ is Lord. You don't think the devil is scared of you, do you? Because you resist him. The only time the devil flees from us is when Christ is Lord within our lives. For the devil can do nothing with us then, for Christ has been crowned as captain, king of our life, and he's Lord. And then through our risen, indwelling, living Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, we can confront the devil and the devil flees from us. But other than Christ being in us, the devil takes us captive at his will. And sitting at the chessboard, and each man has his own pieces that he may move, and he moves them around to satisfy himself in his own gain. And the devil moves us around to please himself. It doesn't make everybody desperately evil, you know. You know, the devil has a hard time making man a drunkard. Then the drunkard alive who likes being a drunkard. You talk to any drunkard when he's sober. He hates himself. He hates his drinking. He loathes the wretched headaches he gets when the hangover is having to be endured. He loathes himself for beating up his wife and being unkind to his children. Every drunkard hates being a drunkard. And the devil has to work hard to keep him one. But I'll tell you something every human being loves to be. Self-righteous and religious. They love it. Does something for their ego. People think they can get to heaven by going to church, by giving their money to help the poor, by giving their money to help the missionaries, by doing something, by taking the sacraments, by going to Mass, by sitting at the Lord's table. They love it. They're getting to God through their own efforts. And the devil has more people in this world who are religious, self-righteous prigs than he does outright villains. And there are more outright villains get saved every year than self-righteous religious people. Far more. The numbers of people that get saved who are religious are few. The numbers who are deep in sin are many. The devil plays his little game. I wonder where he has you tonight. Maybe you're a religious person. Maybe you're satisfied with your own self-efforts. Maybe you're priding yourself on how you're going to get to heaven and how you're going to find a place in the presence of God for all eternity. The devil's playing a game with you. He's fooling you. You can't get to heaven by religion. You can't get to heaven by good works. You can't get to heaven by baptism. You can't get to heaven by attending Mass or taking the sacraments of the Lord's table. You can't get to heaven by praying. You can't get to heaven by reading the Bible. The way to heaven is a way of simple, childlike trust and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ who died at the cross, where you see that there's nothing you can do to be saved, but you come to Christ who has done everything on your behalf, and you humble yourself in his presence. The devil doesn't care by what means he keeps you from falling at the feet of Jesus to make him Lord, but he'll do anything to keep you from that posture. The one thing that the devil doesn't want is for any human being on this planet to kneel at the feet of the Son of God and crown him Lord and Savior of his life. Has there ever been a time in your life when you made the Lord Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Is there ever a time when you saw yourself the sinner that you were and recognized that you were on your way to a lost eternity? there ever been a time when you came humbly and quietly and reverently to the Lord Jesus and said, Jesus Christ, you are my only hope. I can do nothing about this sinful old nature of mine. I can do nothing about the power of Satan who manipulates me and holds me captive, but you can, Lord. You can save me. You can change me. You can set me free. Jesus said, if I make you free, if I set you free, then will you be free indeed, really free, totally free. That's what Jesus is saying. Wonderful thing is when you get this new nature, you can live victoriously. You know, so many of us as Christians even are defeated. We ought not to be defeated Christians. We're told too often that all we need to do is to go back to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what do Christians do all the time? They go on sinning and they come back saying, Lord, if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We are supposed, according to the Word of God, to be living above that wretched sin which once dominated. And I'm not preaching tonight a sinless perfection. I believe that's impossible because we have an old nature. But I am preaching a glorious victory over sin. Jesus Christ can give us victory in our lives. If I set you free, then are you free indeed. And let us never, never sin that grace may abound. And let us never, simply because the promise of the Word of God is if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Let us never settle for a life of sin, but let us ever aim for a life of victory through our risen and living Lord. You can be set free then from Satan's power and from an old nature. Then the Word of God tells us how men are captive to tradition. Paul was captive to tradition. The Lord Jesus said, He said, you reject the commandments of God that ye may keep your own traditions. You know, there are millions of people alive tonight who know the gospel inside out. They know that they should receive Christ by faith and be born again of the Spirit of God. They could not ever understand better than they do now that salvation is by faith, but they don't want it. They want their old traditions. Jesus said it's not out of ignorance. He said, ye reject the commandments of God. You can't reject something you haven't been offered. You can't reject something that you don't understand. You reject the commandments of God. You turn your back on the promises of God. You refuse to take the salvation of God because you want to keep your own traditions. Saul of Tarsus didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Christ, though he knew that he was. Saul of Tarsus had been at the very scene when Stephen had been stoned to death, that first martyr of the Christian church. And as the stones fell upon the body of Stephen, he was there as a radiant believer. He said, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God in glory. Saul of Tarsus knew that the faith of Stephen was real. Saul of Tarsus saw in every believer the very life of a living Christ. But he went on fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. And he would not bow his heart or his will or his life to Jesus. Are you content with your religion? Has your religion satisfied you? Of course it hasn't. There isn't a man or woman in the world that has a religion that satisfies them. Religion never satisfied anybody. whether it's a Mohammedan religion or a Hindu religion or a Christian religion, it never satisfied anybody, it never delivered anybody from sin's power, it never changed their life, it never made them happy, it gave them no peace. Religion never has. It is Christ alone that saves. It is Christ alone that gives peace. It is Christ alone that transforms the life. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to throw all those Christians into prison when he met with Christ. You know, when he met with Christ, religion faded into insignificance. Everything he'd lived for, everything he'd worked for, everything he'd previously believed, it meant nothing to him. Now he'd met Christ. Oh, it is so wonderful when you meet Christ. Such a lovely person. He loved you enough to leave heaven to die for you. Loved you enough to go to the cross and agonize on your behalf. What a lovely person is the Lord Jesus. He did not have to go to that cross. He did not have to be spread out upon that awful cursed piece of wood. He did not have to sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went to the garden, he sweat those blood drops and cried and groaned and wept because he loved you and wanted to save you. He hung on the cross in agony because he loved you and wants to save you. Oh, my friend, when you meet with Jesus, you'll see the folly of trying to get to heaven through religion. If you could get to heaven through being baptized, why did he die? Just tell me, if your baptism, either as a child or as an adult, could get you to heaven, then why did Christ die? If your church membership could bring you into heaven, then why did Jesus Christ suffer and bleed upon a cross? There's only one way to heaven. It's the way of the blood-stained cross. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. You'll hold on to your religious traditions, as precious as they may be to you, you'll hold on to them and you'll take them down to hell with you. Millions have gone into hell, grasping the relics of their traditions and religious life. It is only Christ that saves. It is only Christ that sets us free. It is only Christ that cleanses. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My friend, tonight, are you a slave to an old nature of sin? Deep within you, some of you are saying, yes, there I am. I've wanted to be free from it for years, but I am a slave to sin. I wish I could be changed. I wish I could be free. Are you a slave to Satan? Is he playing a game with you year after year? Some of you would say tonight, yes, he is. I'd give anything to be out of his grip. I'd be anything to be set free from his power. Are you a slave to tradition? Hanging on to empty religion? It gives you nothing. No peace, no satisfaction, no power, no hope, no assurance. And yet you grimly hang on and somehow are captivated by its power and you'll go down to hell unless you cry out in your knee tonight, oh Lord, set me free. Oh Lord, set me free. Finally, we're captives to the fear of death. That's what the Bible says. That men are held captive all their lifetime to the fear of death. Dreadful thing to be a captive to fear all your lifetime. The dark, dark shadow of death hangs over every life. From the moment it's born There is the fear of death. The parents tiptoe in night after night to look at their darling little one, a few days old, on the pillow, because they know that death could take their little one from them. Thousands of mothers and fathers every year go into a room in the morning to find that cot death has taken another little child. Parents are gripped with the fear through all those early years, will my little child never grow up? If it comes through the years when cot death may take it, there's the ever haunting of some disease. And then as the little one gets older, you watch over it and you tremble lest it should run out from your home and out of the gate and beneath a car or a bus. Not only do we tremble for our little ones, but all the way through we know it hangs over us. A couple newly married, looking out to the wonders of a new life together, find that sometimes it's all overshadowed by that dark shadow of death. Will that loved one, the one that I'm just bound up within this bundle of life, be taken from me when we've only had a few years together? Death! 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 It haunts us all through our lives. It follows us everywhere we go. It is appointed unto men once to die. Once to die. Everywhere we go, it's as if that icy hand of death might at any moment lay upon our shoulder. And men all their lifetime live in bondage to the fear of death, until they come to know Christ. And then there is no more bondage to the fear of death. There is no more fear of death. For as the Lord Jesus said to Mary and to Martha concerning the resurrection, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I tell you tonight that since I was 18 and came to know Jesus as my Saviour, I have never been haunted by the fear of death. I've lived all my life as you have, knowing that death one day will take my life unless my Lord return in glory. Knowing that it will take me, but it will not take me, for death can have no hold upon me. For when I was 18, Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, came and took up residence within my life. Since then he has walked with me and shared his life with me. He is the resurrection. And I know that for me, death will be the opening of the gates of glory. I'm going in. I'm going home. I'm going to be with Christ. Apostle Paul in triumph said that I shall be absent from my body and I will be present with my Lord. What the way to live! He said, I am in a quandary. I don't know what to ask for. But he said, I want to stay with you, dear people, and teach you. But he said, I also want to go home to be with my Lord. Oh, it's wonderful to have this glorious certainty in your heart that you are saved and forgiven of all your sins, that the Lord Jesus lives within you, and that he has saved you for glory. Oh, friend, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. If you and I knew how beautiful heaven was, if we could understand it all, we wouldn't want to stay here one more hour. The devil's had a heyday over the last few years. He's kept nearly every preacher from preaching on heaven. How often do you hear anybody preach on heaven? Very rarely. All the modern hymn books in the world are devoid of any reference to heaven. modern hymn books, except those that are compiled of the old hymns, but modern hymn books have no reference to heaven. You go through the new Methodist hymn book in England, the new Anglican hymn books in England, you go through any of them, you can't find anything about heaven. Look for the section marked heaven. There's nothing there. Because the world has fooled us into making us so settled, so happy, so comfortable, so well clothed, so well fed, so well looked after in this little old world in which we live, that we forget we're going to die. My friends, the Christian has the hope of heaven ever before his gaze. The glories of heaven. Winston Churchill was a great politician. Some people think he was a great painter. I have my doubts about that. But anyway, he said just before he died, he said, when I get to heaven, and I'm not even sure he was a Christian, only the Lord knows the hearts of any of us, but I'm not even sure he was a believer. But he said this, he said, when I die, I'm going to heaven. And when I get to heaven, he said, I am going to paint throughout all eternity. But he said, I'm not going to take my brush, my palette with me, or my oils, for he said they would be useless in heaven. He said, there's not a colour I've used on earth that will be of any use in heaven. For the colours there will transcend them all. There isn't a tree you've seen on earth but what its beauty will be transcended in the glory. There isn't a food you've eaten on earth, but what the food of heaven will be more luxurious. The angels eat there. The children of Israel ate angels' food. The corn of heaven grows there. The rivers flow in their beauty. The mountains rise in their grandeur. The streets are paved with gold, and stupid little men sell their souls to get an ounce of it. And when you get to glory, you walk on it all day long. Oh, heaven's beautiful. The modern preachers have taken it all away and say it's all symbolic language. Let them rob the Christian of the greatest joys there are by suggesting that the words in this book about heaven are symbolic. They are not. They are telling us of the glory of the home of my Saviour, of the home of his Father, of the home of the redeemed. We're going home to glory. When you become a Christian and your sins are forgiven and Christ lives in your heart, you'll no longer live under the bondage of the fear of death. You'll have a joy in your heart looking forward. Looking forward. You're looking forward to meeting Jesus. Are you? If you knew you'd got to die before the clock reached 9 o'clock, 15 minutes from now, if you knew you were going to die, would you be in perfect peace? Would you sit there now at perfect peace? Are you at peace about your future? Are you at peace about eternity? Are you at peace with God? Are you set free? Oh, tonight you can enter into a lovely freedom. Freedom from sin's power, its slavery. Freedom from Satan's power. Freedom tonight from all the traditions that have bound you and burdened you. And religious tradition threatens to crush us. It ever puts more obligations upon our shoulders till we cannot carry them nor bear them. Do you want to be set free? You want to be set free from that overshadowing fear of death so that you can face your future without dread, without fear, without alarm, so that every morning you can awake and face the day at peace, and every night you can rest on your pillow at perfect peace with God. Oh friend, tonight all of this can be yours if you will come to Christ and repent of your sin and acknowledge that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you. And if you will receive him by faith into your heart tonight and make him Lord
and Saviour of your life, you can be set free. For if the Son shall set you free, then are you free indeed. You can walk out of this chapel tonight free, saved, clean, a new person. Would you like that? Then don't wait tonight. Come to Christ. We've been inviting during these meetings men and women to come to Christ. I've been asking them to get up out of their seat and quietly and reverently walk to the front. Walking down here doesn't save anybody. There's no magic in coming to the front of a meeting. Whether it's in a little church like this or in a big crusade, there's no magic in going to the front. But there comes a moment in all our lives when we have to say, I am a sinner and I believe that Christ alone can set me free. And we come to Him quietly to ask Him, Lord, come into this life of mine and set me free and be my son. And when you come to Christ, Jesus says, I won't turn you away. Tonight your life could be transformed. Peace and salvation can be your portion. I'm going to ask you to come. We're going to sing a hymn. I'm going to ask you to come to Christ as we sing. Let's turn to number 62. Already during these few days of meetings, there have been those who've walked the aisle and have come to the Lord Jesus. As we sing tonight, I want you to come. You may be a child. You may be an adult. You may never have been to this church before. We're not asking you to become a member of a church. That's what some people make appeals for in churches, that you might come and be a member of their church. That's not what we appeal for. We ask you to come to the Lord Jesus, to be saved by His grace and cleansed through the blood. If you wish to worship here, there'll always be a welcome for those who want to worship the Lord and seek to grow in His grace. You may be a visitor from another place. It doesn't matter where you've come from. What matters tonight is where are you going? And if you're not sure of your salvation, come quietly tonight, from the back row anywhere. Stand here quietly. You're coming to Christ, not to me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight, please, take me as I am and forgive me and save me by your grace. Let's stand to sing number 62. Don't wait tonight. You won't stand here alone. We'll have a counselling friend to just stand with you as you come. Your coming will help somebody else to come. If you want a friend or a loved one to walk down with you, we'll just say, I'd like to go forward tonight to trust Christ. Will you walk with me? They'd come and stand beside you here. Don't go home tonight captive to sin and tradition and fear. Go home tonight with Christ. You come as we sing. Right now, just come.
Just as I am without one place, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, O tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
I feel tonight there's someone who should be at the front already.
only the Lord knows and reads your heart, but I'm sure there's someone here tonight knows that God has spoken to you personally. You feel your need of the Lord Jesus. Maybe fear keeps you back, pride perhaps. All kinds of emotions go on in our heart. We say, I couldn't go out there in front of all these people. They know me. I've been to this chapel so many times. Everybody here knows me. How can I go forward in front of them and say that I need the Lord Jesus as my Savior? My friend, will you go on refusing to come and eventually awake in hell because you were too stubborn or too proud or too foolish to come to the loving arms of one who died for you? The Lord Jesus shed his blood for you. He died for you. He loves you. You know your need. And you know that none but Christ can save and satisfy. Let go tonight. You'll never regret it as long as you live. Let go and come to Christ tonight. We sing these next two verses. Just come quietly and reverently to the Lord Jesus. You'll never regret it as long as you live.
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sigh the riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in vain to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, O Lamb of God, I come.
Bow in prayer. May I say just before I close in prayer, please don't go home without Christ. If you know in your heart tonight that you have never experienced God's salvation, you are not sure you're going to heaven, you're still in bondage to many things that you hate, oh, come to Christ tonight. Don't let anything keep you. When everyone else is going out and home, just come down the front. I'll remain at the front for a while. If anyone wants to come down and just take my hand, then I'll know tonight that it is your desire to seek Christ. We have booklets here to give you. We have counselors who will be glad to help you. But just come to me tonight and say, I want to go home with Christ. I don't want to go home as I am. I want to be saved. You come. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the deliverance and salvation that is to be found for all in the Lord Jesus. And may there be someone tonight who either in this chapel or in the quietness of their own room at home will open their hearts to Christ and receive him by faith and find this very evening the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and the forgiveness and the cleansing which will bring peace to their heart. Lord, accept our thanks for another evening together, and may the meeting tomorrow and on Thursday and Friday be blessed. We pray for a great time of reaping this week, and we ask that you will accept our praise as we offer it now through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good night, and God bless you. If you would like to receive Christ, if you'd like any spiritual help, just come and meet me at the front tonight. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening at 7:30, and that is the same each night, including Friday.